I'm glad you are so back from the holiday season. I saw a lot of faces that I said, hey, I know you. and I'm glad you're back. The holiday season, one of the phrases that we hear is Emmanuel, you know, God with us. And that's really what our new series is. It's really timely for looking at the year 2012. It's a time of, you know, making new goals, new resolutions, things like that. And really one of the critical and one of the key things that you need to look at with something like this is, first of all, who is this God? And can we really connect with him? And does he really make any difference to our daily lives and guidance in our daily lives? That's what this whole series is about. And because it's critically important, if the living God cares for us, if he created this world, and if he has a plan for us, then doesn't it make sense that we should know what that plan is? Doesn't that just make total sense? But yet, there's a series I'm going to do sometime later this year called Practical Atheists. And it's the whole thing of we can say, many of us can say or assent with our mouth, you know, God exists, whatever. But in our daily lives and our daily actions, whatever, we go through life as if God doesn't exist at all. When it comes to our money, when it comes to our daily decisions and all kinds of things, we live life as if God isn't really there connected with us. And so what this whole series is about is really learning at a daily, most practical level that there is an invisible God, but that this invisible God cares for us and he really does have a connection for us and how to really connect with that. Because look, it can be some great times for you, but it can also be tough times. And we've had people at both places at New Life. And it's really, really important that we learn to do this. So you should be able to pull out some notes. If you have a program, you should have notes like this that you should be able to pull out and follow along a little bit, because it's just so important. My wife and I have been married over 30 years. And she lovingly told me just recently, again, something that I've known for many, many times and for many years and many moons. She says, John, you still don't understand me sometimes. And it's just so true. And I feel bad about that. And we can talk, and I love her deeply. And I'm just so blessed to have Pam in my life as my wife. But yet there are times where I just fall short in how I listen to her. And I'm cursed with a face that looks different from what I'm feeling. And so I can have a certain expression on my face, and I might be concentrating on one thing, but my face looks like I'm feeling something else, okay? Did anyone ever have that problem? And I'm glad I'm the only one in the room, okay? So as we're, you know, it's gotten a little bit better, and we're able to talk, and we're not having problems. I just want to let you know that. But not usually. Okay. And so, you know, when I'm up here talking to you all, I hope it's crystal clear that as we're looking at this series on hearing the voice of God, this is a continual journey for me also. And I am so not this guy that, you know, I am just like this theological mystic that, you know, there are some people like that, and I so appreciate them. And they walk through life every day saying, you know, I'm just, you know, God's just told me this, and God just told me that. And I know there are people like that. I'm just not one of them. And maybe you're not either. Now, well, I am going to talk about how God communicates with many, many people and what the Bible says about how God really communicates. And that's what we need to look at today, because, you know, relationships can be hard, and really figuring it out can be tough. And like I said, my wife and I've really connected pretty well, and our communication thing's gotten better and better. For some of you who are like newlyweds, you know, I was listening to like some guys talking about marriage or whatever. And you know, for some of you guys, especially that are newlyweds, there are two things that you really need to understand about women, but nobody knows what they are. Okay, so you just be aware of that, and so you're going to be a little bit in the dark, and that's just going to be the reality that we all deal with in challenges of communication. So uh, So we're going to look at this a little bit. Now, like I said, I've never audibly heard the voice of God, but I believe God's communicated with me many times. It's kind of like some of you have smartphones on you right now, and there's what's called bandwidth, right? And that's why you have smartphones. You're able to do things and see things on your phones or whatever, but you can't see the bandwidth, correct? But you have the manifestation of that. It's a little bit like that, what we're looking at in our series. So Jesus makes it really, really clear in your notes. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so what he's saying is, look, God wants to communicate with you so much more than maybe you might really even want to hear from God. And so you need to learn to really connect and to listen to who God is. Why is this so essential to hear from God? I just wrote a few of these down that I'm going to pass on to you because it might, you know, one of the deals here is it provides encouragement. It provides encouragement to persevere. Because sometimes you're hanging by a thread and you don't know, you might have done everything right, but all of a sudden where you're at in your life, you're going, wow, I thought I did everything I was supposed to do to be at this place in my life, but right now I'm at this place in my life, what's with that? And you're not really hearing and you're not really seeing and you're wondering what's going on in your life. And sometimes when you're able to get to a point where you really listen and you really connect and you feel you really hear from God, it's like it becomes, you go, that's a confirmation. I am so encouraged right now to hang in there and to persevere. And Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice and follow me." And so really it's kind of a confirmation too, provides encouragement to persevere. It's kind of a confirmation too that you are in the family of God. I remember one of our kids, Pam and I are, especially Pam's a really good parent, and when one of our kids was really small, it was our son Josh, and I think he was like four years old, and we're in this little church, and somehow we got wires mixed up with this other family, and he did not end up going over to this other family to play with their little boy, and we ended up leaving him behind at the church building. And so we didn't know it at the time, so we were panicked, and so we go back to the church, and this little church had this really dark basement, and so we were yelling out for Josh, and all of a sudden we hear this cry from the basement, why did he do that? Because he heard our voice and he recognized our voice. And sometimes when you kind of just hear God confirming or communicating with you and you feel like you're there and you've been left behind, it could be really encouraging. You know, do you remember that story, the news story about the miners in Chile and just the incredible miracle that ended up being? But there came a point where there was a breakthrough into that mine that they thought they were trapped, and they didn't know what was going to happen. But the first time there was a breakthrough, and they had a communication from the surface, and they were encouraged to persevere because they says, "We know you're there, and we're working on this." You know, so that's one of the big things. In learning to really hear the voice of God, it can be really encouraging to you. It protects me from mistakes also. You can end up making some really dumb mistakes in your life if you're not willing to really hear from God. Listen to God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. And I've had this happen many times in my life. God speaks to me in thought processes, and I don't know, I've just kind of learned to know when it's from God. And usually I know it's from God because he communicates with me on how I need to be communicated with, and it's usually with just one word. And so because it connects with my attention span, okay? And so I'm getting ready to maybe make a decision or to do something, and many times God's guidance isn't whether I should do something or not, it's the timing of when I should do something. And there have been many times where I've been ready to, you know, pulled a trigger on something, or I've you know, had a lot of stuff, and it's like the thoughts just come, don't. That's it, don't. And so I've just backed off when that's happened. And there have been other times where it's just been like, go for it. And so it's almost like red light, green light a lot of times, the communications I've had. But it's so important, you guys, that you learn to do this. Another one is it produces meaningful results in my life. That is, just basically, you can write the word success down there. But I understand that the word success can have, you know, multiple definitions. God has a definition of success for your life. Did you know that? And that might be different than what you think success is. That's why I wrote it down in terms it produces meaningful results in your life. I will guide you along, what does it say? Along the best, look at your notes, Psalm 32:8 says, I will guide you along the what? Along the best pathway. Let's try it again. Try it again. Psalm 32:8, okay? It produces meaningful results in life. It says, I will guide you along the what? Along the best pathway for your life. See, we tend to think we have or know what that is. We might not always know what that is. How do we find that out? Because the best pathway, we thought all of a sudden, we got derailed from that through circumstances or the whole market climate changed or whatever. The best pathway for your life, I will advise you and watch over you. So there's some tremendous benefits for really learning to hear the voice of God in your life. And Jesus has a really famous story. It's the story of the four soils out of Luke chapter 8. And I think it really applies to what we're talking about today. Now, a lot of people have seen this story as like four different individuals and how they respond to the teachings of God or the call of God in their life. But I really think that this also can really be seen as four different attitudes that any person can have toward God's leading and direction in their life. So it's almost like you can have one or all four types of these soils in your life depending upon the area God's talking to you about. So you can be responsive in one area but not in another. So let's just look at this for a few minutes and see how God wants to work with this in your life. So the first one here is we need to learn to cultivate an open mind. We need to learn to cultivate an open mind. Now, you see, if God is speaking to us all the time, and I believe he is, it's kind of like there's like this signal coming in, but unless you're tuned into it, it's like, wow, has that thing been going this whole time? And so there's this signal God has. And so it's kind of like the image here in Luke chapter 8 is it's a parable of the soils. And this is a really common understanding people had in this day because 95% of the people were farmers or they grew things. And the way that they planted seeds, I don't know if you ever planted seeds in your backyard, you kind of stick a seed down a little hole and you water it and pat it down or whatever. The way they planted seed in those days, they just had a giant bag of seed and they just took a handful. And I think the term is called broadcast. They would just cast these seeds out to all the soil because there wasn't that much great soil and they weren't even really sure where the best soil was. So they would just cast the seed out and then they would tell by the sprouts that would come up where the good crops were. And it's like God is like the seed trying to communicate with us. And in his word is the seed. He's casting the seed out. And the soil, the way you can look at this for your individual life, is your own heart and mind. And that would be like your attitude. Even like right now, as you're listening to me and whatever, you know, what your attitude is to really receive what God is trying to bring to you in your life. And so the first one here really is to cultivate an open mind. If you really want to hear the voice of God, that's what you have to do. A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Now, the way they used to work with the crops then in those days, a lot of times they would try. Part of their crops would be vegetables. A lot of them, you know, were like grains, but others would be vegetables. And you would kind of try to, you know, put these things in the rows the best they could. and sometimes they're kind of meandering, but whatever it was, they would work with the best plants that they had, and then they would walk around these plants, and it would create little pathways, but those pathways would become really compacted down, really, really hard. You know, California soil can get like that, can it not? It almost looks really flat. It can almost get shiny and really, really hard. Well, if you put seed on that, it's not going to sink into the ground at all, right? And this is what Jesus is talking about. He says, those along the pathway, in verse 12, those along the pathway are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. Now, this looks like that they're being victimized here, but that isn't the reality. The reality is they're really not receiving what's going on. You know, let's take a marriage that's kind of struggling, and there's a situation where maybe there's a really insightful counselor, and one of the people is receiving what's going on, and they're hearing what is being said, and they're taking it to heart, and they're applying it. But the other one is sitting there, and they're just doing this. And even when the counselor is bringing up a really key issue in their life, they're just hard. They don't want to hear it. And so the seed's being cast. The seed is being cast, but it's just sitting there on a hard surface because their heart is hard, and they don't really even want to hear it. And that's when Jesus says, use the analogy where the evil one comes along and he just snatches the seed away, just takes it away. Because the seed's been there, the opportunity's there, but they're just kind of blowing it off. They don't want to hear it. And so look on your notes. The hardened soil equals a closed mind, a closed mind. Now, you might not have a closed mind in every area of your life, but in certain areas of your life, you can have a closed mind. And what are some of the causes of these? I think one is fear. Maybe in just your life in general. You look at maybe what, you know, God coming into your life. And you don't want to, you know, perception is a big deal. You don't want to look like a religious nut or just look, you know, just whacked out or whatever. Or you're looking at the implications of what that might mean if you have God in your life. And so you don't want to be weird. Fear could be one. Pride's another one. Maybe you just decided that your little brain can figure out all the solutions to the universe, and so you just don't believe. You don't really care to believe. You're not listening, and you know, the whole idea of any of this is just irrelevant. There's a major part of our population in the United States that's like that. You know, it's very fascinating what's going on in America right now, because if you were to just listen to the news about some of these surveys about what's going on and, you know, more young people leaving the church, blah, 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 like that, you'd think the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, the whole world. When in reality, if you look at the claims of Christ and what's going on globally, there have never been more people that are responding to the good news of Jesus Christ around the world than what's going on right now. These are some of the most phenomenal, exciting times in the world. But if you're just to listen to what's going on or what, you know, some of our newspapers are saying is happening in the United States of America, you think, man, no one wants to go to church, no one wants to talk about God. And you get a couple of little best-selling books from, you know, some of these, you know, new atheist types. And you know, which usually most people that are atheists, by the way, it's an emotional base. It's not a logical base. Almost every one of them. I'll tell you, it's true. And so so pride, they don't believe in God. Another one is just bitterness. You know, that people can be hurt and their hearts just start to grow really, really hard. They become defensive. And I tell you, you might have a friendly veneer and, you know, you might be congenial in a lot of ways. But you've allowed hurt in your life to control your life. And when you get that going on in your life, a bitter life is a wasted life. And someone who's hurt you in the past, you're allowing that to continue to control you now, today, and even control how God's wanting to work in your life now. And that's just really sad. And so what does the Bible say about this? It says, James 1:21, get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. So I'm not saying hurts necessarily. Filth could be something that you didn't bring in your life, but it still needs to be cleaned out, okay? get rid of all the filth, and another part is the evil in your lives, and humbly accept the message that God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save your soul. So one of the first things here is we got to really just, you know, open up, have an open mind to this. Another one is take time to listen then. This is another kind of a big deal for our American culture. We have such hurried lives, or harried lives is another one. And so we kind of have a thing with God a little bit, but it's kind of like a couple of years ago, I went to Portugal teaching some leadership stuff, and flying into Portugal, actually northern Portugal, Porto area, beautiful area, and you know how it is in a jet, you know, you have the clouds there, and you kind of see the mountains and everything, and, you know, see the, you know, the river by the city and everything, and then as you're coming into land, you get to see a little bit closer, and you start to see what some of the buildings look like, the layout of some of the neighborhoods. Then you land at this incredible, beautiful airport there. But you can just walk around, and it's kind of like if the only place you've ever been, let's say, you know, you fly into Porto, but you have a connecting flight to somewhere else. And so the only place you've ever been is the airport in Porto. And so if someone asks, have you ever been in Portugal? Oh, yeah, I've been there before. But you see what I'm saying? The only place you've ever been, and that could be kind of God in your life. It's another thing to take a bus out, you know, get to somewhere where you're going, and then maybe a taxi, and then maybe you get out by foot, and you start walking the streets, and you start to see some of the local hangouts that are some of the most popular places around, and you get to see, you know, the children going to school, and how people work and whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? The level from jet to here, and this is where we need to start talking about taking time to really listen and really let God get close to us and let God understand us, and really he already does, but us starting to really understand how God works in our lives. It says, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and this seed began to grow, but soon it withered and died for lack of moisture. And Jesus says, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message. Would you circle this now? Who hear the message, right here is what you need to circle. They initially hear the message with joy. Okay? Circle that, because what that's talking about here is emotion. And emotion can be a good thing. Now, in Israel, they had, there's a lot of places in Israel where this story took place originally, but it's a thin layer of topsoil. Underneath that was limestone. And so a lot of places where the seeds would grow, because the soil was shallow, and during rainy season, the seed would do fine. Because the water, the outward circumstance of water would continue to pour, and so it would look good, and you'd have this crop and stuff everywhere. But then when the rainy season would go away, those roots would quickly dry up because they were not able to sink deep and to tap into the deep reservoirs of water that are there. It's kind of like California Hills, you know? If you just moved into the area, and you look at the California Hills around here, what color are they? Gray, you know, kind of brownish gray. But then what happens around March and April and May? You know, it's, you know, all these car commercials they do internationally. I mean, you know, for all of our cars, you know, they're driving through the hills and stuff. That's all the California Hills. You know that, right? You go, oh yeah, that's, you know, just right up the road here. Because when they're green, they just look absolutely beautiful. But California Hills is that way. There's not enough root system. And so when it rains, it looks green. When it doesn't rain, it kind of goes away. And this is kind of what Jesus is talking about, what can happen to a lot of people. It says, the roots don't go very deep. And so they can believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing start to blow. So would you write this in? A shallow soil is a superficial mind. It's a superficial mind. A lot of times you can hear God's word and get excited about it, but this is the reality. You don't allow the word to really change you. You can be moved by it, but you don't. You know, I've had people write me notes or talk with me in the lobby afterwards and say, oh, that message was just so moving today. And then a month later, I never see him again. And so there are people who go, oh man, I'm feeling the warm fuzzies of this, but then the realities of what life is. And so they're wanting to keep coming here on Sunday because life's been tough that week and I want you to come and we want to encourage you. But what this is about is not somehow miraculously by me standing up here and talking, I'm going to be able to buoy you up and lift you up to push you out the door to just make it through another week. That's not going to happen. Because it's the Holy Spirit is the one that can hold you steady. It's the Holy Spirit, that's the visible Spirit of God, who can connect with you and talk with you. And so you have this whole idea with joy, and people were just, you know, initially, wow, this is the best thing I've ever heard. Oh, man, what did we, how could we have gotten through life without knowing this? Right? Oh, man, they're just elated with all of this. And then life starts hitting, and then all of a sudden, boom, they just drop out completely. And Jesus describes this. Now, the United States Air Force did a study about retention years ago, and what they came up with is we lose 95% of what we remember within 72 hours. So 72 hours from now, even if this is the most wonderful message, which it's not, but even if it was the most wonderful message and you went out and you were like saying, you know, wow, that was great, you know, if you were to ask someone to ask you, like, we're going to do this. We're going to call you on Thursday and say, what was last week's message about? We're going to see what you remember. But you know what some of you are going to be able to do? You're going to be able to, you know, because a lot of our groups are small group, sermon-based. And so when we start to talk about, you know, our study based on last week's sermon, a lot of people have a blank look on their face like, oh, what did he talk about? And I've done that myself. You know, man, what'd I talk about? But then we have people who pull out their trusty New Life notes. And then, you know, and then they just look brilliant. Oh yeah, and that point number three, John, that you said, I go, I did? You know? And so that's why we have things like this, is to help you remember. Because it could be the best thing in the world, but if you don't remember it, it's like, you know, rings are really good things for married people. It's kind of putting out a signal there. You go, oh, yeah, I'm married. See? I forgot, you know. Yeah, so it's really important that we understand these things. I don't want you to be shallow. You know, if you have to take some of these things and laminate them and stick them up in your shower, so be it. To remember those things that are most important. Now, there are two ways to deepen your life that I found out. And I don't think there's any way around them. Now, you can define specifically for you how you want to apply this, and that's fine. But one is just time with God. You know, quiet time alone with God. Quiet time alone with God. That's on your notes. You can write it down somewhere. There are two ways to deepen your time. And the other one is a weekly gathering with other believers. I think in the Bible you see this quite a bit. It says, you know, don't forsake the meeting together with other people. In fact, it says in Hebrews 10:25, and they assumed here, I know they did in context, at least weekly. Don't give up the habit of meeting together. Why would he say that? Because it was easy for people to give up the habit. Why? Because they're going to hear things, their mind's going to say things like, I don't need to deal with this. I have enough in my life already. I don't need other people to complicate what's going on, blah, 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 blah. You know? And I think the Bible already knew that we're complicated people, that it's hard to really build strong, healthy relationships. It just is. God knows that. But guess what? That's why he died on the cross. And he gets us together with one another to teach us how to forgive each other as he has forgiven us. Okay? And so, don't give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. So, you know, when I've slacked off in things like this, it's never gone good for me. Another one is eliminate the distractions in your life, number three. Other seed fell on the weeds, and the weeds grew with it and strangled it. And Jesus' explanation for this was this. The seed that fell among weeds stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, did you catch that? As they go, 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 go. They're going on their way. You know, if you don't allow God to create your plans and your priorities, guess what? Someone else will do it for you. And some of you just want to abdicate that. You know, what am I doing this year? What am I, you know? But somewhere we make choices to allow people to do that. That as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. And so the soil with weeds is a preoccupied mind. It's a preoccupied mind. And that's what I deal with a lot, both for myself, but also when I'm talking with you right here, is you're listening to me, and this is such a huge miracle to have a group of people. So this is one of the few places where you actually do this, unless you're in full-time school. I mean, life is so fast-paced. And then when you guys are watching TV or you're playing video games or whatever, and video games are getting better and better, by the way, and you know, just how quick the action is and the motion and everything. And then you come to church, and then you have one guy up here just kind of plodding on, and there's no action, motion, whatever. It's a big challenge to really communicate, to really get this connected with you. But it's the way the Bible has set this whole thing up. And our minds can become so preoccupied. In fact, the word here for choked by weeds in the original Greek is stressed out. And that is pulled in multiple directions. Any of you ever feel like that? You're just pulled in multiple ways. And life can be that way. And so words on this, again, are worry, wealth, and pleasures. Worry, wealth, and pleasures. And all of those kind of connect to the same thing. My own pleasure, my own good life, it has to do a lot with just our physical life, our financial life. And worry can consume our thoughts, and wealth is the delusion that we have control over much more of our life than we really do. If any of you had to come to grips with that one, that you thought you had so much more control over your life than you really do. And then pleasures, you can just be busy just trying to have fun out there. And so, question for you, how do you get weeds? Do nothing. My lawn is a great example of that. It's just like, where did they come from? You know? And weeds, you just do nothing and you're not vigilant, and weeds will just grow everywhere in your life. So, we need to be able to slow down and let God kind of pick around and pull some of these weeds out. Things are starting to constrict us and control us and stress us out. And again, a lot of that is just we need fellowship with one another. You know, I will confess, over the years, almost every time I don't look forward to small group, it's like, oh, small group. But I can say I'm glad that I went for the most part. Now, are there other ways to do fellowship? Yep, there are. And so God might have a unique tailor-made thing for you. That's fine. I'm just saying this is a general way that seems to be there because people have other insights for me that I might need to have within my life. But you also need, like I said, to make that time to eliminate distractions. You need quiet time with God. And this is a hard one for me. You know, I have this little thing on my TV because the way my mind works, it actually calms me down personally because I have multiple inputs. There's a thing where I can have a split screen and have two things on the TV at once. Have you ever seen something like that? It calms me down. If I can have a book there and then have two things going on at the screen at the same time, I'm good. And then all of a sudden, I have to get by myself and quiet with God. It's like, but God understands that about me. It's like, John, quit wiggling around and hold still, okay? That's the truth. And I've been like that ever since I'm a little kid. And you know, when we have grandkids, you start to see, have you ever start to see something of yourself in your kids or grandkids? Yeah. And you know, and there's a couple of them. There's one of our grandkids, I'm not going to say who, but they cannot hold still at all, ever. And they're just a wiggle worm. And I remember, they used to say that about, hey. So, but God understands you, but regardless of what your temperament is, and it might be harder for you than others, You need to have that quiet time. You got to get alone and have that quiet time. Elijah was an action man, and it says in 1 Kings 19:12, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And it wasn't all the flash and spectacular whatever, but it was God came to him in a gentle whisper, and he's trying to tell Elijah, who was a guy that lived off adrenaline and the next action, he's like an action hero, you know? And God's just saying, I want you to do, yeah, what do you want me to do? I want you to do, yeah, I'm ready. I want you to do nothing. Just calm down and let me be with you. And sometimes some of you need that. And I'm there, and this is one of my biggest struggles in my life, is really just a quiet time. Because when I hear quiet, I hear like death. You know, So it's true. That's for me. Some of you, you're just the opposite. You love just, you know, the quiet, gurgly, the brook beside you, and you can just sit there for hours on end. And I so am in awe of you that you're able to do that. But we all need to have that quiet time with God. And then we need to cooperate with what he says. We need to cultivate an open mind. We need to have a time to listen. We need to eliminate distractions. And I have deep respect, especially for single parents here, and how to work that out in your life. But we need to cooperate with what God says. You know, really what this comes down to is this. It's a very important key before you even approach God. It comes to this. God speaks to people who decide in advance that they're going to do what God tells them to do, even before he tells them. That's who God will really communicate with this, with us. So it's like, God, if you want me to move, I'll move. If I'm going to go to school, I'll go to school. If I'm going to change jobs, I'll change jobs. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'm just letting you know before I even sit down and really talk with you, whatever you tell me, whatever you direct me, wherever you lead me, I'm telling you right now, before I even know what it is, I'm telling you yes. That's who God communicates with. Because if it ends up being like, okay, God, if you have an idea or job for me, pass it by me. And I'll look at it, and I'll consider it, and I'll get back with you. You know? Guess what? That's what people say. You know, I'm not hearing from God. Because God's basically saying, do what you're going to do. But you don't really, really want me in my life. But this becomes the good soil. Luke 8:15, the seed that fell on good soil stands for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart, and they persist until they bear fruit. So the good soil is a willing mind, and what do? They retain it, they apply it, and then they share it. They retain it, they apply it, and then they share it. They say, hey, this is what God's doing in my life, and maybe this works for you. They listen to God's word, and they cling to them and steadily spread them to others who also will soon believe.